global rising is here, and we're going to need to know how to live in the energy of the Holy Spirit more than any other generation, because things are not going to slow down. We're in the era of forced change, life, longevity, and immortality. This is why I've got DNA behind me. It's awesome. So we're going to talk about DNA a little bit, frequency, energy, and life. So I'm just going to pray now. Father, we just step into the breath. So just take a deep breath. I know it's early in the morning for most of you. We just receive that Ruach HaKodesh in the breath, the hay. And I know we're all busy, but in this moment, we're going to engage. We're just going to engage life. There is regeneration in the present. There is life in the present moment. Right now, there is limitless life. Right now, in Him, in the breath. We breathe. And we return to Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, who's always in the breath. The breath is always an anchor. It's always an access point. We were designed to be energized by the breath because the Lord breathed. See, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And that word wait doesn't mean wait. Some translations say trust. It doesn't even mean trust. It's kavah, and it means entangle. Those who entangle in the energy of the Lord and in the frequency of the Lord will renew their strength. So we are people who entangle. We come into oneness. And the way you do that is returning to this perfect moment. Nancy calls it the bubble up. She gets the bubble up. Out of your belly will flow rivers of what? Living. Not water, living water. So inside of you is immortality. It's already in you. What we have to learn is to let the inside flood out. To let the inside flood out of our bodies. So think about this. Peter said, you have been seeded with the immortal life by the word of God. So inside of you, inside of me, is the kingdom of heaven. And inside of us is life and immortality. So mystics are people that have learned to live from the inside out. And many of the mystics could live without sleep. There was one saint that didn't sleep for the last 8 years of her life. Others would sleep, like Catherine of Siena. She would sleep an hour or two every 2 days. And many of the saints had expanded lifespans, or they were able to live without food, like Jesus, who said, I have food to eat you know not of. So we are a generation that want it on earth as it is in heaven. Now let me ask you, what is heaven full of? It's full of life. Everyone who goes to heaven says the trees are alive, they're singing, the grass, the oceans, whatever, the sea of crystal. It is all alive. And we've been praying for 2,000 years, let it be on earth and in this body, which is the house of glory. So we're a generation that's untethering from the message of death, and we're tethering into the message of life. I'm just going to go for it now and just stay in rest. And Shannon and Nancy, you can let me know when I need to land, because I just want to go through this. I've got some chunky stuff. I'm going to hit you with it. So I'm going to just speak a little faster now. Strap yourselves in, open your mouth, let the Lord fill it. We're going to talk about expanding your life and the next phase of human evolution. Okay, so it's a challenging word, so I'm going to give you a permission to think differently this morning while you're drinking your coffee. I know you're just waking up, probably. I give you permission to think differently. This isn't the age of gurus. You're powerful. I'm powerful. We're all trying to outwork it the best we can, okay? So you have permission to think, but we're going into an into word that you can't get from engaging the earth. It's, Paul said it's a mysterion. He said, I tell you a secret, not all of you will die. That word secret is mysterion. And mysterion is the word that's used in scripture for things that you have to get from up there. In other words, they're not here, they're there. One of the reasons I think your community is so full of life is because you are ascension people. You go up. When you go up, you untether from the record of death. You untether from this realm, like Enoch and Elijah, and life is there. Okay? So you may have more questions by the end of this talk than when I started. My job is never to answer your questions. I'm not here for that, although we got a Q&A at the end. My role is to provoke your consciousness to expand. Now, the thing is, when you expand your consciousness, you'll have new questions. I'll give you an example. We know there's a Holy Spirit, and then one day you're in the heavens, and you see the seven spirits. So you're in the heavens, and now you've got a new question. I thought there was one Holy Spirit, now I'm seeing seven. How does that fit? Who is Holy Spirit? Who is wisdom? See, the more you engage, the more you increase. Let me put it another way. What you know, revelation is what you know. Mystery is where you grow. So if we're going to grow, it means we need new questions. And the questions are changing. So the questions in the Pentecostal movement were, how can I speak in tongues and prophesy? You know, the question in the Voice of Healing movement was, how can we heal the sick? Well, the question in our generation is, how do we become life-giving, immortal beings of health, life, and immortality? And it's a huge question, and it's going to take a while to unpack. Now, I haven't got the full picture, but I have been taught by the Lord on this subject for 10 years now. I don't consider myself as having anything on it yet, but I'm very happy to preach on it with confidence, because it's not coming from me, it's coming from above, it's coming from the realm of the heart of Yahweh. Because John 10:10 says this: I came that you might have life. Satan comes to kill, steal, destroy. So killing, stealing, and destroying your health is not God. Satan came to kill you, destroy you, and steal from you, right? Jesus said, I came that you might enjoy life and life in abundance. And the word he uses there means a life that is expansive and superfluous beyond any requirements. In other words, he came to give you an explosion of life. Now, Christians up until now haven't been about life. We've been about dying and going to heaven, and we've empowered death in the earth through our words. So we're a generation who are deciding life is a good idea. Life expansion and transforming the earth. We're not waiting for the rapture. We are being raptured every day, and we're bringing life down. And at some point, it has to intersect in the human body. And that's what I'm going to talk about now, is your body. Your body is the temple. Okay, so this whole thing started with me 10 years ago, where the Lord said, I tell you a mystery, not all of you will die. And I was about to speak in a conference, and I was like, Lord, what do you mean? So obviously I Googled it, I looked it up, and it was the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:51. I tell you a mysterion. This is a mystery. He got it from the heavens. Not all of you will die. I believe that word gave permission for someone to escape death through the whole ages. I believe, and I'm going to show you, there have been, through the last 2,000 years, people have read that scripture and not died. There are immortal ones on the earth, there are ever-living ones, and there are cloud riders, and I'm going to talk about them in this session. So God said to me this from Psalm 92, that he will renew our strength like that of a wild ox, and we will be fresh and flourishing in old age. Look at Psalm 92 as a prophecy for today. It says, you will be like the cedars of Lebanon planted in the courts of God. You will be fresh and flourishing and full of sap, even in old age. That is a promise for a company who are planted in the courts. In other words, they're planted in that realm, like Nancy. They're living from that realm. That's why Nancy can live off 2 hours sleep and sometimes preach all night. I've seen her do it. I was in Texas And she invited everybody back to our hotel, and she preached until 5 a.m. in the morning, and she showed no signs of fatigue. How does somebody do that? To quote Nancy, it's not humanly possible, but it is new creation. And we are fully identified in the new creation. Okay, so I knew something big was afoot 10 years ago when the Lord started speaking to me, 2010. He started speaking to me about the gospel of life and immortality. I knew something was happening. So soon after he said this, I was caught up into the heavens and I met Enoch. And many of you have heard this experience, but please listen to me. This wasn't a small experience. This changed my life, my personality, and my DNA. My wife will testify to it. The way I talked changed. The things I understood changed. I was taken up into the heavens in 2010. And out of this white light stood a man who was lovely. Lovely blue eyes. He smiled, beautiful, curly, wavy hair. Just looked so nice. And he said, my name is Enoch. And to be honest, my reaction was like, I didn't even speak. I got to be honest with you. I didn't even speak to him during the whole encounter. I was just kind of like, as Ian Clayton says, catching flies. So I was blown away. But this is what he showed me. He gave me a wine, which I tasted. This is how real the experience was. I took this wine. He said, this is the testimony of the glory of my life. When he gave me the wine, I drank it and it went into me and I went hot in my body, in my fingers even, and I could taste oak. And when I tasted oak, I knew I drank Isaiah's words. They shall be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild ruined cities and be repairer of the breach and heal the desolation of generations. And I went into an expanded state and I heard the word architects, landscapers, designers, and I saw the Father's face turned towards the earth, and scrolls were coming out of heaven, destiny scrolls, and people were catching them. People with open hearts, people with hearts after the future, people who wanted to change the world. And I knew that we are coming into a new age. Enoch called it the time of great change. We're in the age of great change. We're in an age where ideas are going to boom. Creativity is going to explode and technology will look like magic. Technology will be unbelievable. Technology is going to expand and it's going to affect our bodies. I was shown that the word generations, the desolation of generations, means genetics. The genetics, this code here that has spots and wrinkles, this code that's been damaged by epigenetic trauma, by murder, war, disease, decay, by viruses, this will be repaired. And we're in the age where we're beginning to understand the body is priceless. The body is beautiful. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. And we've not treated our bodies well. We've not understood the body. That's okay. Okay, because we're under grace, but in this age, the grace and knowledge is expanding and we're going to heal this. How God's going to do it? Maybe through technology or transfiguration or ascension, but we're in the age of life, life swallowing death. That's good news. I hope you guys are with me so far. So Shannon and Nancy, you guys good?
Oh yes, we're amazing. Okay. I'm trying not to get too messed up.
Great. Okay. So we are in the age, think about this, of repairing the desolation of generations. Think about it. For example, I inherited a turn in my eye, and so on some of my videos, it turns, especially when I'm tired. My dad had that, his granddad. That's a desolation in my genetics. And the Lord's going to begin to heal genetic structures of disease. What will it mean? It will mean literally the gene will not be there. So the gene for asthma, the gene for arthritis, the gene, the genetic structure for a turn in your eye or, you know, different diseases will literally not be there. We're moving into an age where there will be a time coming where you cannot get ill because you don't have the interface. See, it has to have an interface in your genetics and your frequency, but we're moving into the age of life-giving, and the blueprint for this is Elijah, and the blueprint for this is Enoch, and the blueprint for this is Moses, who lived to 120 and had a young body, and the blueprint for this is Caleb. It's all of these people that moved in life in life. And John, the beloved, who couldn't die, so they put him on the Isle of Patmos. And all these saints in history, the Maharishi of Kailash, and all these people who tapped into something, the desert fathers. You know, some of the desert fathers could literally turn their bodies into flames. There's one account of a disciple coming to the desert father. It was probably in Egypt or Yemen, one of those countries. He said to his teacher, he said, "I have done everything you've taught me, master. What is there else to learn?" And the guy turned to him, went like that, and his hands became flames. And he said, "Then why don't you learn to become a living flame?" Now, Enoch also saw this. He saw people that could become living flames. In his visions in heaven, it's in the book of Ethiopic Book of Enoch, he said, "I saw people who could become flames, people who could become energy, frequency, and vibration." So as I continued this journey from 2010, I was hosting a spirit school in Cardiff, and the Lord taught me the next level of this again. He began to unpack it, and the glory came in the room, and it was thick. It was heavy, and I had a missionary called Michelle Perry in the room, an incredible woman from Iris Ministry. She used to work in Sudan and places like that. Incredible woman. And she knew Enoch, so she'd come to meet me because she'd met Enoch as well. And there was like a fusion between us because we'd both met Enoch, same as when I met Nancy, because she's met Enoch. And when she was preaching and kneeling on the floor in the middle of the room, these clouds formed around the room, which I could see. And in it, I could see faces peering through. And I was thinking, who are these? And the Lord said, "These are the cloud riders. These are those that ride on the clouds." And I started to discover there's another group of cloud of witnesses. Yeah, we've got the cloud of witnesses in heaven, but there's also those who are alive on earth who are joining the clouds, and I call them the cloud riders. Now, this comes from the book of Isaiah, where it says, "Who are these that ride on the clouds like doves to their windows?" So they're the dove company who have windows to shift realms. And the window, as you know, is hey. It's yod, hey, vav, hey. So you go into the breath and you shift. You go into hey and you shift. And then the dove company, which is those who are walking in union with the sevenfold spirit. So I became aware that there were these people that were perpetually alive. Now, at this time, I was beginning to get to know Ian Clayton. And Ian Clayton had a friend who was 400 years old. His name, I've discovered since, he calls himself Christian. He lives in the Kailash mountain range, and he's very famous. He's been there for over 400 years. Sundar Singh was friends with him. Ian Clayton's very good friends with him. And this man appears and moves around the earth. Now, he is one of these cloud riders. I think there are about 30 of them that came in the room. Now, check this out. This is amazing. So I was with Dr. Obanaya on one of my trips to South Africa. And I said to Dr. O from Activate, I said, "Dr. O, you've told me some incredible stories. You told me once you met two intercessors in Chicago that were 200 years old. And they're there to pray and intercede." I said, "How many people do you feel like you've met in your lifetime that are immortal?" Now, Dr. O is a radical guy. I mean, I absolutely love the guy. He turned to me and thought, he said, "I probably met 30 people in my lifetime that are immortal." That really blessed me, because that's how many people came in the room that day in spirit school with Michelle Perry. I saw 30 faces. They didn't fully come out. They were like peering in the clouds. And Enoch did appear. Enoch stood in the middle next to Michelle. And after the meeting, I said, "Michelle, did you see that? Did you see Enoch?" She said, "Yeah, he was standing right next to me, wasn't he?" I was saying, "Yes, he was standing right next to you." So guys, I know this stuff seems crazy, but God is blurring the boundaries between realms. And that means it's going to change. So don't think we're in a normal time. We're not. We're not in a normal time. Get rid of that idea. If you're in Global Ascension Network, you already know this. Just look at Nancy and Shannon. You guys have hooked up with a crazy network. And I'm so thrilled to be a part of this and connected to you guys. So you guys good so far? Give me a wave.
Mom, you gotta.
I'm loving everything that you're saying. And I'm in 1000% agreement with it all.
There's a company of people who are hooking up in the cloud. So you can see it, technology, right? People save data in the cloud. They hook up on Facebook. All of these technologies are just manifestations of what's going on in the spirit. The reason they exist on the earth, cloud, data exchange, light technology, quantum technology, is because that's what's coming out of heaven. And you bet it, it's going to change our body. And yeah, there's been an attack on the human genetics this last year or so. But I tell you what, God's solution is so beyond COVID and all these other diseases. Okay. So I just want to talk about the Maharishi for a second. So Christian is his name, the Maharishi. And even by talking about him, I immediately sensed his presence. Every time I talk about him, he tunes in because he's in the spirit in this mountain range, but he knows when you engage him. So he was basically born a Muslim. And until he was 30, he was a Muslim and he accepted Jesus and he became a missionary for 75 years. So he had a very fruitful ministry, lived a long time. He actually learned 21 languages. When he decided to retire, he went to a place where a lot of mystics, monks from different religions retire. In the Kailash mountain ranges, you'll find Hindus, Buddhists, they're all there. So he went there to spend the last years of his life interceding. Now in this elevation, there are no birds. And he was in the cave where he made his home. And he could hear the sound of birds. And he looked outside a number of times and there was nothing, but he could hear wings flapping. Then suddenly someone touched his eyes. And when he opened them, he could see angels everywhere. And this cloud appeared, and out of the cloud came Yeshua HaMashiach. And this is what he said to him. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Today I grant you eternal life. You will be alive until I come again." And then he reached into his heart, and this has happened to other saints. He reached into the man's heart and took out his heart. And then he gave him a golden heart. He gave him an immortal light being heart, a heart of energy. And you read about other people having the same thing happen to them. This is an exchange that happened. Now, it's not the only way God gives immortality. So don't think of this as a formula, guys. Think of it as a relationship. Imagine Jesus coming in your room and saying, "I love you. I'm giving you this heart." Wow. What would you do, by the way, if you stop, if you don't die? What are you going to do? It's going to be good. What if maybe you just live longer and God says, "I'm going to give you another 100 years. What would you do with it? What would you do if right now, hearing my voice, the frequency of my voice changes you? Because Yahweh's speaking through me. What would you do if I gave you more life? What kind of life would you live? What would you do? So 1 Peter 1:23 says this: "You have been regenerated, not from mortal origin, seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal by the very living, ever living and lasting word of God." Did you get that? Ever living. You have the ever living seed in you. The challenge is getting this seed out. Says the cares and worries of this world choke the seed. So we've got to be a company that water life, and we don't get choked or bogged down by money, greed, possessions, profile, celebrity, egotistical systems of control and manipulation, but we live arms wide open, releasing life, living from the flow, living from love. Wow. Because love is the highest frequency of all. Okay. So Romans 8:2 says this: "When you live in union with the Anointed One," I love that word union. "When you live in union with the Anointed One, Jesus, a new force or a new law takes effect in you. The law of the Spirit of life breathes into you and liberates you from the law of sin and death." Okay, guys, I know I'm sharing a lot, but stick with me. Come back to me. Listen, it says there's a law of sin and death. But when you live in union, the law of life kicks in. So there's two ways of living: separation, which is death and away from the Lord, or you live in union with God. And in union, it says the Spirit breathes on you and liberates you from systems of decay. Woohoo! That is a good verse there. So there's a mystery here, and even John the Apostle began to tap into it. We know this story well from the end of John. It's an amazing passage, but Peter's walking with Jesus. They're walking along and John's following because he loves Jesus so much. I'm like that with Nancy. Nancy, I love you. I'm going to keep following you. I always want to find out what Nancy's up to. So, you know, Peter was like that. John was like that. Peter was going with Jesus and John's thinking, what are those guys up to? Don't leave me. So he's following after him and Peter sees him and goes, Jesus, what about John? And he says this incredible thing. Jesus said to Peter, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Wow. So he said, what if he remains until I return? What is that to you? So some people believe, and this is incredible, that John couldn't die. Now, John mentions this, says in John 21, then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say he would not die, but if he will remain till he comes, what is it to you? This is the disciple, and he's writing this, who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. But that, get this is the amazing thing. So John's saying, look, I wrote this. So they're saying it about me. I don't believe it. But what happened when the Romans caught John? It says Tertullian writes in the Prescription of the Heretics book that John was banished to Patmos after being plunged into boiling oil in Rome and suffering nothing from it. It is said all the audience of the Colosseum were converted to Christianity upon witnessing this miracle. So check this out, guys. These cloud riders aren't just stuck on the earth. They shift dimensions. They move dimensions. But John could not be killed in that moment because of the power of life. This is something that's going to happen. And, you know, Nancy's, you're on this call, but Nancy, you've had incredible times, haven't you, where people have tried to kill you, throw spears at you,
all sorts of stuff. Sometimes they come in to chop my head off and they end up leaving my best friend. It's amazing what the Lord does. And just many times I've had people tap into my meetings to try and kill me. Or even the cannibals would try and spear me and the spear would fall about 3 feet from my face. So it's like there's just this divine supernatural protection that comes when you're really in union with Him. That's true.
You've got so many stories and I've listened to them all. First time I ever came across Nancy, I was in South Africa. And my friend, Chris Blackaby, who's my publisher, Seraph Creative, some of you know Chris, he's a great grace preacher. He said, I've got these black market teachings that have been passed around. And I was like, who's that? This is woman, Nancy Cohen. The cool thing was the timing of this was awesome because what happened was this. I was trying to write Beyond Human, but I thought, this is so nuts. Who's going to track with my book, Beyond Human? I've been working on it. And then he gave me these teachings. And I kid you not, on the flight from South Africa all the way, I listened to like 10 hours of Nancy. I was like Neo in The Matrix. And it was like I got plugged in. And I was going, and after listening to Nancy for 10 hours, I was like, yeah, my book's going to be okay. I'm not the only crazy person.
Well, I love that. I love that story because it shows that great minds all run in the same channel. And when you are living in union with God, you can speak exactly the same message and be right on target. And the one thing, too, I want to share just briefly is for 40 years, I was walking this kind of life. And I never could find anyone who ever understood what I was about or the things that I was doing. And most people thought I was just making it up or dreaming it all up. So when I met Justin, I thought to myself, praise the Lord, there's somebody else that's as crazy as I am. And it just gives credence and also extends the knowledge that you're not alone. And that there are other people that are like you, because for 40 years I was alone and I couldn't find anyone who did the crazy kind of stuff that I was doing. So what you're saying is really precious to me. Go on, Justin.
Awesome. Thank you, Nancy. Isn't it exciting that we're all finding each other?
Yeah.
And just a few of us now. How many thousands all over the world are connected now in just the last decade? Yeah. And what used to be strange is now going mainstream, like the word mystic. 10 years ago, people were really offended. I see people talking about it everywhere now. And everywhere people are talking about ascension. And Nancy, thank you, and Shannon. But Nancy specifically, thank you for pioneering and paying the price for so many others so that they could just come into it. Thank you for all that you've done in holding these truths for 40 years. And it's incredible seeing it all come to pass now. And it's all coming together nicely.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's all being done in rest too, because we're in the seventh day. So everything is being done in rest, which doesn't mean that there's no work attached to it, but there's the underlying knowledge that it's all being orchestrated and led by Yahweh himself.
So, come on. That's exactly right. And that's why I have confidence in what I'm preaching tonight, because I didn't look for this message. This message found me. The Lord brought it to me. And in many ways, I don't even feel like, why would he give it to me? I'm not exactly an athlete. I probably need a bit of deliverance from pumpkin pies, you know, when I'm in the States. I love going to America. There's just so many places to hang out and eat. It's beautiful. Why he would give it to me, because it's a work of grace. This isn't the age of law. And I know many people want to turn the mystic realm into laws. That's a mistake. It's not. It's a relational flow from frequency and love. Even Paul said it. He said the gifts are for the immature, but love is the more excellent way. And we have to be people that love in here, love our bodies, and love outwards. Okay, so let's keep going. So I was just talking about the ever-living, the pumpkin gospel of love. Yes, thank you, Jennifer. The pumpkin gospel. We want it. I never tasted pumpkin pie until I went to America. I was in a green room in Idaho, and they said, do you want some of this? I tried it out, and I was like, what is this? What is this, you know, beautiful concoction, pumpkin pie? And I never looked back. It was made by Costco. They make good pies.
Oh, Costco makes great pies. Yeah, but Mom makes the best pumpkin bread, so you have to try that. I call it her salvation bread, because people that got a word of the Lord to pray for this woman. She was going to change the earth for the kingdom of heaven. So they prayed for her every single day. So we have this little recipe card, which is the original recipe card that they gave her. And those people prayed for her, and she was not nice to them, because that's back when she was an atheist. She wasn't nice to them. So that pumpkin bread. So when you come to the mountains, as soon as they let you out of your country and able to travel again, we'll make you some good pumpkin bread. And I call it the salvation bread, because that's those people prayed her into the kingdom.
Bring it on. Come on. So coming back to these immortal people that are on the earth, just think about this, guys. Let it sink in. There are people on the earth right now that are hundreds of years old, maybe even thousands of years old. Patrick talked about meeting a couple, and I'm going to read it to you now. So St. Patrick from Wales, who went to Ireland, he went on a tour of Europe, and he was coming back from Rome. And on one of the locations he went to with a group of nine people, they found a house and a young man and a young woman in it. And we're going to read the account to you now. And there was an old woman at the door of the house. And Patrick said, what happened to this old woman? Why is she so weak? And the couple said, she is my own grandchild, said the young man. He said, how did this happen? It's not hard to explain, said the young man, for we are here from the time of Christ. So they're already like 400, 500 years old, this couple, but they're young. Oh, he came to visit us when he was here among men. We made a feast for him, and he blessed our house and he blessed our bodies. But the blessing did not reach to our children. And this is the way we will be without age coming upon us until the end of time. Your coming was foretold to us a long time ago. He said, it's the will of God for you to go and preach in the country of the Gaul. Christ left us a token with us, a bent staff to be given to you. Now, some of these stories could be legend. I admit that, but not all of them. This is what we do know. People like that exist. We know that the other saints, the Celtic saints, met other people like that stayed young or were old but kept on living. Hermits, desert fathers. We know that Enoch kept his body. Elijah kept his body. Moses got his body back. He died. The Lord had to kill him because he was so full of life. He dies. And Michael has to defend his body, scripture says, from Satan. Why was there a battle over his body? Because the Lord was going to give it back to him, because love breaks the rules. Moses gets his body back. He appears on the mountain with Elijah. So even grace breaks the rules. So who else is out there? Jesus got his body back too. Jesus came back for his body. Why didn't he just make lots of new bodies? He came back for the body, because the body is priceless. John was possibly immortal. John the beloved may still be phasing dimensions now, coming back to the earth. Enoch certainly is. And we're going to see more and more of these people appearing in the coming days. Okay, have I run out of time yet? Yep. Or am I good?
No, you're doing good. Truck on, man.
Okay, so there's another group on the earth and in the heavens. Now, when I say they're on the earth, remember, blurring boundaries. Once you're in the kingdom, don't think that you're stuck. You're not. There's a group of people on the earth that are from Matthew 27, verse 51. I'm going to read it to you now. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints, wow, many saints who'd fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. So outside of Jerusalem, all around that area, there were people buried, and many saints deliberately wanted to be buried there. Joseph, remember, it says, by an act of faith, Joseph said, take my bones with you. Where did they bury? Why is it listed as an act of faith? Because he saw what was going to happen. They buried his body 30 miles out of Jerusalem. I think it's roughly around there. And I think he was one of the ones that was raised up. So where are they? Where are these hundreds of saints? Phase in dimensions, but that means they can interface with you. So there are people that are already getting in on the resurrection early. And you guys might know this from Francis Metcalf. Francis Metcalf wrote that there's going to be people like Paul and John and others that are going to come from heaven and literally appear on the earth and teach people as the days progress. Why? Because we've been praying, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. And God's looking for cultures that say, Lord, I'm willing. We cannot live in human limitation anymore. Human limitation and revivals isn't enough to transform the genetics of earth. There's been no revival where the genetic structure has been transfigured. There's been no awakening that has gone where we're going next. That's why the old structure's collapsing and a new one's rising, and that nobody really knows. If somebody says they've got the full blueprint, then they probably need to send more and go, wow, it's massive, it's beyond. It's really beyond, because it keeps growing and growing and growing. Okay, so how many more in history have escaped death? Some books, Jewish books that I've read, say that when Enoch was taken up, thousands went with him. So he didn't just go on his own. But get this, Enoch did it all by faith and skipped death. It says that by faith, let me read it to you now, Hebrews 11, 5. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up. Oh, I love that. By faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death. Guys, imagine that. Imagine a generation rising that don't even glimpse death. Death's not their friend. They never hook up with death. They never go through death. They go through Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and life in abundance. Now, there's no condemnation on anyone on this call. If we grow old and die a normal life, that's fine, because I'm not saying there's anything wrong with us. What I'm saying is the Lord's trying to make us dream bigger, believe bigger. In the last generations, we contended for tongues and prophecy. We contended for healings and evangelism. We contended for Bible translations. But in this age, the age of light, he's saying, who will contend for the record of life? And is there a groan in you? And that's how we know that something's happening, because God will often put a groan in you for the very thing that he wants to see happen.
Yes, I can testify to that. I've been groaning for almost 40 years. So
yes, that's great. Yes, and I've come to understand so much of it through you, Nancy. You know, you contacted me once when you were groaning for 9 days. You sent me a text message. And what I've come to recognize in you, Nancy, is that, because I've tried to figure you out a little bit. It's like I've seen lots of prophets prophesy, but you embody it somehow. I think what the Lord showed me is that you create what you're prophesying. It's a very different kind of functionality, and you travail and you groan. And there is a groan. When Rachel came to Germany and Shannon and you were teaching, Rachel got hit so hard, she didn't even care if she got the airplane home, and she had that groan. Now, when you were on a call with us the other day, Nancy, and you were with me on my mentoring group, Rachel said when she heard you and saw you, she felt that frequency. So there's something about you, Nancy, where you release a frequency, you release a sound and an energy that is transformative.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. I thought, there's more mystery here. We've got to keep going for it. So Enoch is a blueprint, I believe. And Enoch, the Enoch company. Now, Enoch did come back to Earth. Not many people know this, but if you read the Ethiopic book, which was quoted in scripture, he came back and taught his children for a year. He had a house. He went again. He came back when Noah was born. He came back to see Methuselah. And woohoo! I've been saying
to Rachel. Now he's coming to see us.
Yeah, I've actually, one conversation Rachel and I have had many times is this. I've said, honey, if God takes me for a couple of weeks, don't panic. Because there have been people in the past that have had that, where they shift. And we're going to see more of this. In fact, one old mystic in the 1600s saw all of this. She saw immortality. Her name is Jane Lead. One of the things she saw was there will be people that actually start to have homes in heaven and come down from heaven to minister to the earth without dying. Imagine, guys, that happening to you. If I'm stretching you, get a bigger God, because it says he can do exceedingly abundantly above, beyond what we ask or even dare to think, according to the power at work in us. Why have we got inside us the incomparably great power? Because inside of us is what creation is waiting for to cause a wave pattern of life. It says all creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God to free it from what? Decay and corruption. Yahweh. So in other words, inside of us is a power that's going to come out. Transfiguration. Yeah. So we're contending again for life. And I know it's crazy, but I'm not living from here. I'm living from here. My heart says life is good. My heart says death's bad. My heart says health is good. My heart says disease is bad. My heart says bigger adventures are coming. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
And those who are immortal and live from the heart, they live from the heart, not the mind, for the natural mind cannot receive the things of the spirit. It's foolishness to it. But to me, the logic of love is life. Think about it. Whoever wanted their kids to suffer? Whoever wanted their kids to die? No good parent wants that. Jesus himself said, I came that you might have life and life in abundance. He also said, I will build my ecclesia and the gates of death will not prevail. Some translations say Hades, but it means the realm of death. I think the Passion translation says realm of death. So we've got a war against death. And we've got to be a generation that say we're going to break the rules. Hello, rule breakers.
That's awesome, Justin.
Yes, Lord. Is it question time or should I keep going?
Go ahead.
I think right now we're in kind of in a roll, and I think a lot of the questions are being answered by what you're saying. So
okay.
I would rather you go for a little bit. Yeah, I'd rather you go for a little bit, because we can always have you back to do a big question and answer. But I think what you're releasing right now is vitally important for where we are this season.
Let's keep going. So Bill Johnson says this: we will know our mind is renewed when the impossible looks logical. For me, life looks logical. That's why Google is spending $400 million on life expansion technology. That's why people like David Sinclair are doing NAD plus telomere technology. That's why all over the world, they're trying to hack genetics with CRISPR and genetic editing. And they're trying to bring new ways of doing nutrients, epigenetic technology, neuroplasticity. And we're discovering you can regenerate your body, expand your lifetime, that your brain isn't set. They used to say it was set. It's not. It's neuroplasticity. Your mind can literally be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wow.
Wow.
Yahweh. Woo. So this is very relevant. 2 Corinthians 5:4. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. And I tell you what, there's a groan in me, there's a groan in you, and Nancy's a catalyst for that groan. She was on a call the other day, and all these people fell off their chairs and were groaning. She was telling me about it. There's a groan inside of you, and we've been afraid of that groan. We've been afraid of looking undignified, but I tell you what, you can't hang on to your dignity for this age. Your dignity has to go. Nancy's let go of her dignity. She's grown and travailed. I was on a call with her and she started groaning and travailing in the waiting room at the hospital because there's a sound that cannot be contained. Yeah, for life to come. Life is exploding out of us. And listen, it says, lift up your head, oh, you gates and doors. So we are the gates and doors. If Jesus is a door, you're a door. But what kind of door are you? It says out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Living water. There's a sound, there's a frequency on life, and scientists are starting to discover that. Like if you look at the work of Joe Dispenza, he's mapped out the frequencies of different emotional states, and anger and jealousy, envy, greed, they're all low frequency, very slow wave. But the more you go up into love and bliss and joy, it goes and it's high energy. It's like we are going to be people who live in energy, who function in energy, who move in energy. Okay, so why are we groaning? Sorry, I know I'm going all over the place now. Why are we groaning? It says in the verse, it's not that we want to die, Paul says. This is awesome, New Life Translation. It's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, oh, listen to this. This is creamy. This is delicious. But rather, we want to put on the new bodies so that these dying bodies followed up by life. Wow, I love that. Because the church has classically always been about putting off your body. But Paul says, it's not that I want to put off my body, I want life to come. And Paul understood it, guys. Paul understood it. Yeah. Jesus said to me once, Paul was immortal. I was like, Paul wasn't immortal. He said, yes, he was. Look in the Bible again. And we know he died, but when you look at his story, he knew how to live in life. He was whipped, stoned. He was bit by a snake. He was shipwrecked. He was in open oceans. He was without food. He was without clothes, without sleep. And yet he did not die from any of it. Let's just look at what Paul had to say on this. Paul said this, 2 Timothy 1:10. One of the most important verses on immortality, 2 Timothy 1:10. This truth is now being unveiled. Wow. So it's been hidden. It's been hidden. It's now being unveiled. People, it's coming out.
Yes. Yes.
This truth is now being unveiled. People, it's coming out. So it's been veiled. 2 Timothy 1:10, look it up. This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death. Wow.
Wow.
Whoa. Mm. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, but look at it in all translations and in the Strong's. What does it say? He's dismantled death. You know, if you dismantle a car, it's useless. If you dismantle a computer, it doesn't work. It says, ooh, Jesus, our life giver, has dismantled death. Dismantle. We've got to start dismantling it out of the earth, out of animals, out of crops, out of the waters, out of the stars, out of the galaxies. We are those who dismantle death. Okay. Who's dismantled death, obliterating. I love this line. Listen to this. The Passion Translation, obliterating all of its effects on our lives. That's literally what it means when you look up men kategeo thanatos. Thanatos is the effects of death, aging, disease, all of that. It says Jesus obliterated death and broke its effects on our lives. And what's the next line say? And manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. I'll quote the New King James Version. It says, now it's given us the gospel of life and immortality. So why have we not preached immortality? Because religion is the cult of death. Religion, middle-aged Roman religion from the medieval, was all about death, control, manipulation, going to hell. burn you in the streets, and it's a counterfeit. What we see in a lot of the church is not Christianity. The real Christianity is about life. The real Christianity walks the edges. The real Christianity is born in a stable. The real Christianity walks on water. The real Christianity has open arms, say, for God so loved the world, and calls people into inclusion and into the dance. Real Christianity is a love dance. Real Christianity is a musical. Yeah, yeah. Real Christianity is love, love, love. Not systems of greed and control and wanting money and wanting this and that. Oh my gosh, when will we grow up and stop doing that and start becoming love and becoming light and caring about the whole cosmos? Woo! So other translations say this, 2 Timothy 1:10, life and immortality. One translation says incorruption. So you don't have to be corrupted. Your body can have incorruption. Nancy used to tell me about one of your friends. I've forgotten his name. He wrote a book about The Secret of the Stairs or something.
Oh yeah, Wade Taylor.
Wade Taylor, he got younger and younger. I heard Bobby Connor talk about him.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Connor said to Wade, he said, Wade, I've noticed that you keep getting younger. Bobby Connor said this to him. And over several years, he got younger. I think his hair color came back. He looked younger. And you told me, Nancy, that even in his 80s, he could still carry suitcases, big old suitcases.
Up several flights of stairs. And the fun thing is we'd go into a restaurant and he'd try and claim the senior discount and they wouldn't give it to him unless he'd show his license. And he was 90 years old then.
Wow. Wow. So he got regenerated. And Bobby Connor's the same. Bobby Connor had all these, he had a heart attack. I heard Paul Keith talk to me about this. I've talked to Bobby Connor. I've had food with Bobby Connor a couple of times. Bobby Connor got regenerated. He had a heart attack and all this other stuff. And after that, the Lord said, I'm going to expand your life and said, go and get tested. When he went to the doctors and got tested, he scored better than the Olympic rowing team, because this particular place had just tested them and the doctor was great. And the fear of God came upon him when he told Bobby Connor that his insides were like an 18-year-old.
Wade went in one time. He was, he got actually healed from a birth defect in his heart the first time that we met. And for 10 years, he was fine. And then one day he started to feel fibrillation in his heart. So he went to the hospital. I said, Wade, God's stretching the capacity of your heart. It doesn't have anything to do with your heart going into a bad place. So he went in for a test and the doctors like freaked out and they called in all these other heart people. And he was having the one where you have to stay awake. So he's listening and he says, why? The guy was asking, what do you eat? What kind of vitamins do you take? What kind of exercise plan are you on? And it upset him. And he said, why are you asking me all these questions? And he said, because you're 90 years old and you have the heart of a 22-year-old.
Wow. Wow.
Awesome.
It's amazing. This is going to happen more and more, Nancy. And you know this, and I know this, but I've been shown this in a very specific way. I was taken into the future. I was on an ascension with you and Mike and others and Lindy. And I got taken into the future and I saw great changes come in. Incredible stuff's going to happen to our bodies. For example, I was shown we'll be able to regrow teeth. That if a tooth isn't right, it'll just fall out and you'll regrow another one. I was shown we'll be able to see colors that we can't see right now. I was shown that we'll be able to sense electromagnetic fields and other things. And we're coming into a time of incredible wonder because it's called the restoration.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Wow. And this is why I really love this network. And I love you, Nancy. You know, you've brought the message of the restoration of all things. And is so contentious because it's so rich. It makes you question, how good is God? Is he really that good? Could it God the gospel really be this great? And the question and the answer is yes. There'll be no one who looks at Jesus and says, oh, we over-exaggerated your goodness. When we see him, we'll go, wow, all I saw, all I spoke was nothing compared to the substance of who you are. In fact, scripture says in the last days, we will tremble at his goodness. Why does it say we will tremble at his goodness? Why does Hosea say that? I think it's Hosea 3:5, because the frequency will make our DNA tremble. The frequency will open up our gates. The frequency of what? Goodness. It's the frequency of grace. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:10. Now this grace has appeared. It's a grace, guys. Nancy's tapped into it. And I'm encouraging you guys, let's draw on grace. There's grace for your body. There's grace for immortality. There's grace for life, by location, cloud riding. Mm-hmm. How many of you guys want to sign up to ride with the cloud riders for a while?
Amen, me. I would love that.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to just share a real brief testimony because you're on it. We were on the Global Technology Strategy Group this week, and I went into deep levels of groaning in the middle of our meeting, and I kept trying to turn my volume off, and I couldn't get to the right button to do it. And what ended up happening was everybody was receiving electromagnetic charges in their body. Half of them fell on the floor and they started trembling. That lasted for 2 to 3 days. And what's come out of that has been truly, truly amazing. I could just give hours of testimony about it, but I don't want to interrupt your teaching. So go on, because it's so good and so rich.
Yeah, you're not interrupting, because I feel like we're interwoven. Mm-hmm. We are interwoven. It's many voices. We need many voices. We need to allow the sound of life to come out. And Nancy, this is what I love about you so much, is that you carry so much of the sound of life. And that's what the world's waiting for. See, the church up until now has been releasing the sound of death. When you die, you'll go to heaven. Our songs are depressing. Even our dance moves are depressing, you know? So there's a company of people who are coming who don't carry that frequency. They carry the frequency of love, life, wisdom, and immortality, because they're all intermingled. It says, with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. So where's the fountain of life? In the light. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So there's a frequency. So the light and blood and water are the same thing. And there's a realm called life. And I believe ascension is one of the technologies that regenerates the body. So coming back to Paul for a minute, I know we're still on a roll. I've got so much of this stuff, but we'll just stop whenever you guys want me to. He said about the gospel of life. So he used the word that men, katageo, thanatos. He destroyed death. Men, katageo, thanatos. Say that, guys. Men, katageo, thanatos. He destroyed death. He destroyed. Now, one of the reasons we haven't seen many resurrections from the dead is because we've honored death. And in the courts of heaven, death has said, they've honored me. They've entangled into me. They've preached me. They've honored me. They've said, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Where will you go if you die today? So we have to start to unravel from that and go in the courts of heaven and say, Lord, forgive us for making an idol out of death. Forgive us for making death our savior, and turn to Yahweh and say, Lord, you're our savior and your way is life. And the life. And in you I live and move and have my being. In you I live. In you I move. So I shift dimensions. And in you I have my being, a new kainos being, a new cosmic, interstellar, intergalactic being of light, the children of light, the sons of light, in a kingdom of light, arise and shine. And it says, why? Because the darkness is in the world. What's the darkness? It's the darkness of death. Some people often say it's moral darkness, but it's not so much moral darkness. There's always been moral darkness. It's the record of the valley of death. But it says, arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you, and nations will come. The light of life. The light of life is going to come forth. So he said, men, katageo, thanatos. He destroyed death. What does it mean? There's just a few meanings here. It means to render idle, unemployed. So death is unemployed, inactive, inoperative. So death's inoperative. To have no further efficiency. I'm reading from Vine's dictionary. To deprive of force, influence, and power. So Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia, the real ecclesia. The real ecclesia, it says, on the gates of death, the powers of death, the structures of death, the government of death will not prevail against them, but they will release life and life and life. So, I'm going to go for 10 more minutes, then we'll stop. Someone who really tapped into this in an incredible way, but I didn't see it until Jesus spoke to me, was the Apostle Paul. I just want to take the last 10 minutes and talk about Paul, because you're going to see it in there. So Paul was the one that said he had the gospel of life and immortality. Paul was the one who said, men, kategeo thanatos. Paul was the one who said that we have the law of the spirit of life that set us free in Jesus Christ, free from the law of sin and death. And you don't see that preached. People say, come to Jesus and be free from sin. Why don't we preach, come to Jesus and be freed from death? Because we haven't seen it, but we are now. Because we're in the age of Enoch. We're in the age of Elijah. We're in the age of ascension. We're in the age of technology and innovation, where we're beginning to think differently. A repented mind is a different way of seeing reality. Repent up, revisit, teshuva, return, and think differently. I'm getting a strong wave off that a minute. So, Papa, I pray right now that we'd be transformed or transfigured by the renewing of our minds, that we would see it. Bill Johnson says, wow, repentance is a, this is a tricky sentence, but it's really awesome. Repentance is a sustained change of thinking about the nature of reality. A sustained change of thinking about the nature of reality. See, we used to think that death was normal. We're thinking different. We used to think that aging was normal. We're thinking different. We used to think that space was out of bounds. We're thinking different. We used to think we had to go to heaven when we die. We're thinking different. We're going there. We used to think that we had to be limited by gender, IQ, and race. Now we're seeing if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. We're beginning to believe. And I actually had angels say that in my house once. I was praying with a friend, and this presence came in, and it was exceptional. And I heard hundreds of voices laughing like children, and they laughed and laughed. And then somebody said this, they're starting to believe. They're starting to believe. And then I heard another voice say this, they have no idea what's coming for them. So let's end with Paul. I could go on to more stuff, but I'm going to end with Paul. Paul was immortal, Jesus said to me. So I looked at the scriptures, and I just want to share a few funny immortal stories with you. Firstly, we know he talked all night, and someone fell out of the window. So he didn't need to sleep. He was like Nancy. He even raised the guy from the dead and carried on talking.
Like it was a normal thing. No big deal.
You know what I like about that story, Nancy, is so much like you, because literally says the guy talked all night. This young kid fell out the window because he fell asleep. Paul raises him from the dead, brings him up, and says he carried on talking till daylight, then went on to the next place to preach. That sounds a lot like you, Nancy. So here we go, Acts 14. I'm just going to share three stories quickly. Jews from, he preached and it caused a riot. Okay, you remember this story? It says Jews from Antioch and Iconium arrived and won over the crowds. They stoned Paul. I want you to imagine this, guys. Imagine a whole city, and it says there was a big crowd. Everyone stoned Paul. What would that look like? The whole city dragged him out, and supposing that he was dead. So listen to this. Jesus took me back in the spirit to watch this, and Paul looked terrible. Paul looked terrible, right? Guys, I can't even tell you what he looked like. He looked like roadkill. When they dragged him out of the city, there was a trail of blood going all the way into the city. I saw it. His skin was shredded. He was all broken. They put him on the floor. It says the disciples gathered round him. A Okay. I saw why the disciples didn't touch him. They all gathered round Paul. They looked at him and he looked awful. They didn't even know where to grab him. You know, when something like roadkill. And then I saw this amazing thing. I was there with Jesus watching this, and Jesus was like, watch this. Paul went, and his face and everything just came back together. And he looked normal. He literally stood up and looked normal. And what does it say that Paul did next? It says he walked right back into the city.
It's amazing, right?
Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine Paul was walking on his own bloodstains? I mean, he walked back into the city and then went on and preached. Okay, so that's one story. Acts 19, Paul again. So it says Paul, God did powerful things through Paul. Things quite out of the ordinary. The word got around and people started taking pieces of clothing, handkerchiefs and scarves and the like. And they touched Paul's skin and then touching the sick with them. The touch did it. They were healed and whole. Can you imagine? I can imagine it. I know Nancy's got this. Nancy's had times like this where the frequency of life on you, the frequency of heaven on you, the overshadowing glory frequency is so high that even your clothing carries that dimension. Even your clothing has reconfiguration technology in it.
Yep.
Wow. And that even clothes that touched him was enough. Guys, we're going to see stuff that's going to blow your minds. There's a generation rising that will clear out hospitals. There's a generation rising that will heal even the damage caused by time and decay. What do I mean by that? I mean, they will heal cars. They will heal trees. They will heal buildings. Imagine putting your hand on a building and the building is renewed.
Yep. Let's imagine.
Yeah. Because we have to imagine these things. We have to imagine, did the Bible really mean it when it said all things are possible for those who believe? So I'm believing for these things. I'm believing for miracles and signs and wonders. The Lord told me this will be the age of wonders. The age of wonders. Okay, one last story of Paul, and then we'll stop, okay? Acts 28. I love this one. So the context of this story is they're in the storm. Can you imagine being in the storm for days or weeks, however long it was? It's terrible. It's stressful. Then they get shipwrecked on rocks. They have to swim to the shore. So, but what does Paul do? It says the natives start building a fire. It says Paul helps them. So Paul is so full of the Kynos message. He's so full of glory. He's so full of whack and shooby juice. He's like Nancy, right? He's like, instead of just sitting there feeling sorry for himself, he's picking up wood. He's just swum in a storm. He's carrying wood. And what happens? It says this, a snake. The snake bit him and is hanging from his hand.
I love you, Justin. You're so
good, isn't it? See, a lot of Christians would start complaining at that point. They would go, oh God, you're terrible to me. I've been in a storm. I have been without food. I got shipwrecked. I had to swim to the shore. A snake's hanging off my hand, Lord. That's not what Paul does. He just flips it in the fire, like, and he carries on. What happens next? I'll tell you. Seeing the snake hanging from Paul's hand like that.
I love it. You're getting blasted, Justin.
It says the natives jumped to the conclusion that Paul was a murderer and getting what he deserved. Paul shook the snake off into the fire, none the worse for wear. They kept expecting him to drop dead. And when it was obvious he wasn't going to, why doesn't he drop dead, guys? Because he's immortal. He was immortal. And we know this because later on in his life, when he's coming, he's debating whether he should give up his spirit and go to be with God or stay immortal. And he's saying, I'm discussing with myself whether I should stay. Should I stay or should I go? If I go, it'll be fun because I won't have to have all the stress of dealing with you guys and religion. But I'm going to stay. He said, I've decided to stay longer in my body. And Paul decided when it was time on his destiny scroll to give up his spirit, same as Peter did and others, that we're going to have a generation that knows how to live in life and immortality. Like St. Denis in France, where his head was cut off, he put it back on and preached. I'm actually named after a guy called St. Justin in Wales that had his head cut off. He picked up his head and walked for 1 mile with his head.
picked it up, holding it in his hands.
Yeah, so I'm actually named after a guy who did that. He was a levitating monk, and he got his head cut off, and he walked with it. And where he died, there's still an ancient chapel there. It's like, I don't know how old it is, very, very old, 1,500 years old or something. I've been to see it. The British islands are full of these stories, and these stories are true. I believe them. I believe there is a power of immortality and life that is going to swallow up death. I believe there is a realm of life where we're going to knock this old form of Christianity's going, and I'm not going to try and revive it. I don't want to revive it. I want to walk in a kainos, new creation, born from above, born from Zion, born from a new age, the next age. We stand fully identified in the new creation. Let me end it with this then. So Paul, who walked in ecstasies, Paul, who ascended and said, set your mind on things above, was immortal. And this is what he says in Ephesians 3:20. And I'm going to end with this. Now to him. Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. He's talking about Jesus, who in consequence of the action of his power, dunamis, that is at work, energeia, energy, within us, is able to carry out his purpose. Oh, he's able to carry out, and he'll do super abundantly. He will do super abundantly. Wow. Far over. Oh, and above. Whoa. All that we dare to ask or think, and listen to this next line, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. That is the gospel. That is the gospel, a radical, radical passion for the restoration of all things. And all creation's groaning for
Thank
this.
You,
the animals, the trees. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.